As the primaries heat up, the personal becomes the political.
I just realize how that my very existence is political.
Carla Bailey Smith and Sharon Chung discuss why they're running for a spot on the ballot in the race for the 91st House District. That's ahead on Sound Ideas. Good afternoon, I'm Sarah Nardi. And Leah Marlene Fever has officially gripped Bloomington Normal.
My sign says we are not normal, Katie.
The hometown girl made an appearance last night in Normal ahead of the American Idol finals, and she may have been greeted by just a few thousand of her closest friends.
My sign says you are amazing, Leah.
Eric Stock brings us a report from last night's concert in Uptown Normal, where everyone's favorite flower got a chance to revisit her roots. Those stories and a Bloomington Normal news update just ahead on Sound Ideas. This is 89.1 FM WGLT and WGLT.org.
Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology. BNA's educational video series, Hear My Story, continues with local patient Susan Geckner.
When I found out there was a link between hearing loss and Alzheimer's, everything else went out the window. That was the catalyst, and I'm not putting it off anymore.
Susan's full story can be found at bnaudiology.com.
This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM, WGLT, and WGLT.org. I'm Sarah Nardi. There are no incumbents in the newly drawn 91st District, but some familiar names will be on the primary ballot. Sharon Chung and Carla Bailey Smith. Chung has served on the McLean County Board for over 3 years. Bailey Smith ran in 2020 for the 88th House District, losing to incumbent Republican Keith Sommer. Now, Chung and Bailey Smith are racing against each other to become the Democratic candidate for the 91st House District seat. That district covers parts of central Bloomington and Normal and stretches west toward Bartonville and East Peoria. I'm joined now by both candidates, and I'm curious to know what drove both of you to enter this race. Sharon Chung, I will start with you.
You know, I have young daughters. They're 9 and 7 now, but back when I started getting involved politically, they were very young. She was 4, and my youngest one was not even 2 yet. And for me, it was kind of a sort of wake-up call, I guess. I was thinking about, what does this mean for my community? What does this mean for my family? Just a lot of sort of existential questions, I guess, went on. And that's when I started getting really involved.
And Carla, what about for you?
I would say that my sort of political awakening came in 1993 when I attended the National March for Gay and Lesbian and Bisexual Rights. And I just realized how that my very existence is political as a identified lesbian at the time, that, you know, recognizing all of the rights that I didn't have and that what was ahead of me to fight for those rights. And so, you know, therefore getting involved in the political process with advocacy, which in the 90s was very much petition gathering and sending letters to elected officials.
So now choosing to run in the 91st, if you could identify a main political motivation, what is the defining issue for you that's pushing you forward?
Well, the defining issue is the fact that we have not had anyone from McLean County who values investment in our communities. So that's why our team chose the slogan, Vision for Values, because I do recognize and value our community members, our individuals, our organizations that have not had the institutional support from Springfield that they deserve.
And Sharon, for you, is there a primary driving factor?
Yes, at least, you know, with my time on the McLean County Board the past few years, I've kind of just really grown to love to be able to advocate and use my voice to advocate for things that I believe in and that I know my constituents believe in when people reach out to me. That's been kind of the thing that spurred it on, that I realized that I really enjoy doing this and I would love to be able to do this on a larger level.
And in your time on the board, and especially recently, you've been clashing a little bit with Sheriff John Sandage. And one of the things that's animating Republicans this election cycle is the criminal justice reform bill that passed. There's a lot of pushback from Republicans who some are in law enforcement, others claim to represent law enforcement, saying that this bill is going to do a lot of damage. It's really going to hamstring law enforcement's ability to do their jobs. Where do you fall on that issue?
Well, the bill was just passed, was it last year? We still don't really know anything about how it will affect our communities, because they're giving the law enforcement agencies time to put things into place. We just approved a contract for body cams last year, which is part of the criminal justice reform bill that was passed. So, you know, I think for the people who say, you know, that it's going to do all these things, I think we just have to wait and see. We can't really rush to judgment on how it's working or because we haven't really seen anything happen with it quite yet.
So when that argument is made, do you think that's just kind of a political rallying cry, a little bit of a dog whistle?
Yes, I do. I mean, you know, when you hear people saying that and trying to, you know, point to different sort of statistics or whatever, when really the bill hasn't, you know, they have until 2023 to put things like cash bail, ending cash bail and body cams and all these other sort of accountability measures. Those really haven't been put in place. So it's hard to even say, you know, what the consequences or, you know, the benefits or anything about it yet.
Carla, where do you fall on that?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question because back in 2018, community network that I was a part of, we decided to advocate for ending cash bail. And our local community group actually joined up with the Illinois Network for Pretrial Justice. So I was in the room with, you know, working conversations around developing the language for this bill. And I know that the conversations around ending cash bail included people who were victims of domestic violence. So it is absolutely a dog whistle to claim that that ending cash bail will, you know, release dangerous criminals onto the streets. That is absolutely incorrect. The bill was written with vulnerable people in mind and as part of the conversation in developing the language.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Sarah Nardi. If you're just joining us, I'm joined by Carla Bailey Smith and Sharon Chung, who are competing in a Democratic primary race for a spot in the general election to represent Bloomington Normal in the 91st House District. Turning now to another topic that seems to be very animating for conservatives, school curriculum. Carla Bailey Smith, what do you see the role of a state representative in turning back maybe some of the push for more parental involvement or approval in school curriculum, or quelling the fears that people seem to have about things like critical race theory or gender affirmation being taught in public schools? Where do you think politically Illinois stands to be compared to, say, a state like Florida?
I think community education needs to be needs to be at the top there. Something I find as I canvass across the entire district is a complete disconnect in even knowing who your state representative is. And that should not necessarily be the responsibility of the individual. That's the responsibility of the state representative to be involved and engaged in their communities, you know, which would include, you know, showing up to school board meetings, or at the very least having regular conversations with people who work in education, and identifying how to communicate effectively to the larger community what the goals of inclusive curriculum are, and emphasizing the benefits of teaching equity at a secondary education level.
Sharon, what about for you?
You know, it's interesting, you know, kind of seeing where we've kind of come from the beginning of the pandemic, you know, over 2 years ago, where teachers were kind of seen as the heroes, you know, I saw it firsthand, you know, my daughter's teacher drove to our house with a big basket of books and activities for my daughter to do so she can continue learning while we were, you know, staying at home. So, you know, teachers were looked at as being the sort of very early heroes, along with healthcare workers at the beginning of the pandemic. And now they're really being vilified. We've all seen it in school board meetings, even here locally. And, you know, I've spoken with, I have many friends who are public school teachers, and, you know, I've spoken with them all, and what they just want is, you know, the ability to teach. They have years of training and certification. They just want to be able to teach curriculum in a safe environment. I think that we owe that to them, quite frankly. And being, you know, being a mom of two young kids in public schools, you know, it's something that is really personal to me. I've spoken with people, you know, who maybe don't agree with me sort of on some of these social issues. And, you know, but to me, honestly, they're people who don't have kids in public school right now. Those seem to be the people who are kind of the loudest minority in the room. But, you know, I think, quite honestly, a lot of the people who do have kids in schools, they're not the ones that are as noisy about this issue.
Switch gears and talk about abortion. Given the leaked draft of the Supreme Court ruling that points to the very real possibility that Roe v. Wade will be overturned and abortion will become a state's rights issue. Illinois will likely become a sanctuary state. What role do you think elective representatives have to play in protecting women's right to continue accessing abortion?
Well, you know, back in 2017, a lot of advocates knew that this was going to be probably got down the road. So, you know, I was really working to pass HB 40 back then in 2017, which removed this trigger law, which, you know, automatically would have made abortions illegal in Illinois if Roe was ever overturned. So I, you know, led a group of people down to our representative's office. I led phone banking sessions, and it was something that was really important to me. And, you know, because of that work that I've done, I'm really proud to have gotten the endorsement from Planned Parenthood Illinois and from Personal PAC most recently, because they see me as a, you know, a fighter for these rights. You know, I think that Governor Pritzker did just say the other day that, you know, Illinois will now be a safe haven or safe harbor for women. And I think, you know, especially in the surrounding states, that we'll have to continue to ensure that they remain safe and legal here so that we can provide those services from women coming in from other states.
Carla, for you, what does it look like to continue to ensure access?
I also did phone banking and postcard writing to get HB 40 passed. And more recently, I participated in lobby sessions and, you know, filling out witness slips to get the parental notice of abortion passed, and before that, the Reproductive Health Act. So I have also engaged in that advocacy and, you know, additional lobbying over the years. And also, most recently, Keeping Youth Safe and Healthy Act continue education in our schools that is age appropriate and inclusive, and you know, if elected as a state representative, we will need to keep an eye on our abortion providers and make sure that that they are protected from protesters, from people who might seek to block others from coming into the state. So that's one avenue of protection that lawmakers could extend.
So we have to turn to a subject that I will be the first to admit just makes me glaze over. And I have to read it off my paper: structural budget deficit. So my question is, I feel like we talk about this a lot, especially when we're talking with politicians. What do we do about the budget deficit? What do we do about the budget? And I wonder how many people actually understand the conversation, because I don't. So I'll start with you, Sharon. What do we do about the structural budget deficit, A? And how do you as a representative both act and communicate budget issues in a way that makes sense to your constituents?
Yes. You know, I do have to say, you know, with my time on the county board, I've participated in now 3 years of budget talks and budget committee meetings and all of those sorts of things, going through pages and pages of line items and these sorts of things. So You know, I do have that experience in trying to sort of parse out how what this all means. Mm-hmm. What I think what's been really great under the leadership of Governor Pritzker and his team, especially with the comptroller, you know, we've been able to pay down a lot of this debt that we have in Illinois. She's been able to get credit ratings, credit rating upgrades. We've been able to pass a balanced budget. With the leadership that we have, and especially now with the new leadership with Speaker Welch and the sort of new generation of state representatives and state senators, we're really excited to sort of take these sorts of things head on, trying to make it as transparent as possible. And the Speaker's office is, what's been really great is that they're supporting my campaign, and I've been really humbled and honored by that. And I think that he sees me as sort of being this new part of this new generation of leadership that can sort of make this, I don't want to say necessarily interesting, but just, you know, that people do can actually see how this impacts them in their everyday lives.
Right. And Carla, what do you think? Because as Sharon's saying, I think representatives do have such an important part to play as kind of a conduit between these, what can be very confusing, dense procedural operations and their constituents' kind of practical everyday understanding of the implications of those procedural things and how they impact their lives. How do you see yourself serving in that role?
Well, my experience in, especially when I campaigned in 2020, running against Keith Summer, I walked over 186 miles, primarily in Tazewell County, just distributing literature because we were told not to knock on doors, and I talked to people in their driveways and their yards about what were their concerns, and you know, and I heard things like, okay, the edges of the roads crumble because there's no shoulder on the county roads, and that really stuck with me. And so, what you know, that's one example of a disconnect between the constituent actually reaching out to their state representative, and the constituent never got an answer, and so the pieces of the puzzle that we need to put together is the funding for the road, the allocation, what materials are going into the road. So our elected officials need to be more cognizant of the needs of our residents, the concerns of our people all across the district, and connecting the resources where they are needed.
That's Carla Bailey-Smith and Sharon Chung. The two Democrats are competing for a spot on the ballot in the 91st House District race. Early voting begins this week. WGLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas. I'm Sarah Narby. And how about we take a little break from politics and maybe talk about something everyone can agree on? Leah Marlene. Tuesday was Leah Marlene Day in Normal, and her hometown hosted a parade and a concert for the rising star, who's one of three finalists on American Idol. Eric Stock takes us to the celebration.
Thousands of Leah Marlene fans lined the streets of Uptown Normal holding signs saying, "We love Leah," many wearing her favorite color, yellow. It's all being filmed as part of the American Idol finale on Sunday night. Fans were loud and proud to show support for their hometown hero.
I'm Stella Hammer and I'm from Clinton.
How long have you been a Leah Marlene fan?
I just watch American Idol a lot with my mom. And when I saw her singing, I liked her voice really much.
Do you want to be a musician, performer yourself?
Yeah, I'm actually, I'm in fifth grade right now. And when I go on to sixth grade, I pretty much want to play the flute in band.
Does Leah's performance kind of inspire you as a aspiring musician?
Pretty much, it really does. I like her music.
Can I have your name, young man?
Preston Bourne.
Where are you from?
Normal, Illinois.
And your name?
Adrian Bourne.
Now, can you tell me what your sign says?
My sign says, "We are not normal, Katie."
Now, do you think Katy Perry is going to be here?
She might watch this.
That's true. She'll see it. And yours?
Mine science says you are amazing, Leah.
What do you think is so amazing about Leah?
She's a great singer.
And you can't have Leah Marlene Day without a marching band and an official proclamation. Here's Town of Normal Mayor Chris Coots.
So, Leah, when you were about 12 years old, sitting in front of Windy City Wieners with your hat out, and I put a dollar bill in your hat whenever you were playing, I never imagined that it would come to this.
Me neither!
But it did come to this, and here you are. And welcome home.
Do you know how many times I played right here? Literally right here. And sometimes there's like two people in the circle. Sometimes there's a lot more. But there sure as heck has never been this many people in the circle.
The moment we have all been waiting for. Our girl, Leah Marlene, is home. Coming to the stage tonight could very well be the next American Idol!
Can you feel the breeze as it strokes your skin?
Then it was time for Leah Marlene to do what she does best. She took the stage and performed a free concert. It was part music and part therapy.
The 2 years leading up to the show were the two worst years of my entire life. And holy moly, if you told me a year ago that I'd be looking out at a sea of thousands of people right now as a finalist on American Idol, I would have never in a trillion, billion, kajillion years believed you.
When you're 6 feet under, it's hard to hear the fracture. The new light is growing in the layers you shed.
This is only the beginning. There's so much that's about to start after this show, and I hope I see you guys there in the very near future. I love you guys so much.
We'll find out Sunday night if Leah Marlene is indeed the next American Idol. But for the thousands who came to see her perform in Uptown Normal, she's already their idol. At Uptown Normal, I'm Eric Stock.
Go Leah. Thanks for choosing WGLT Sound Ideas, made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. You can find all our Sound Ideas interviews and stories at WGLT.org, and you can subscribe to Sound Ideas on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or NPR One. We want to know what you think of Sound Ideas, so comment on our Facebook page, we're WGLT-FM, or follow us on Twitter, we're at WGLT News. I'm Sarah Nardi. The show today was produced by Samantha Hill. This is 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org.